Hello, everyone, and welcome to Oh, a Podcast, the podcast about playing games and making games, brought to you by O-Rock Studios. I'm Paul Franzen, the head boy of O-Rock.
And I'm Michael Gray, the head writer of O-Rock.
And this month, we have another special episode for you. No, just kidding. It's just me and Michael. How you doing, Michael?
I'm fine. I'm a little disappointed there's no special episode.
I'm sorry. I mean, we are live on Discord at the moment. We can see if anyone wants to be a special guest.
That's okay.
Yeah. I don't really want any
randos. Do we have any fancy news?
Fancy news? Depends on how you think about fancy.
Uh-oh, that's not good. is there glitter involved? Glitter makes everything fancy.
There ought to be glitter involved, yes. I've actually been going back and re-recording all of my footage for Internet Court to add a little glitter to my costume. That's why it's been taking so long to finish. I had to redo everything.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, that makes sense. Just make sure not to leave the old takes and the new takes.
No, absolutely
side
not.
Side by side.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't want to accidentally switch them in and out, too. Then we'd have all kinds of continuity issues, and people would make fun of us on IMDb for it. It'd be really embarrassing.
Yeah, there's like, wait a minute, why did his beard grow 2 feet during case number three?
And why is it suddenly gray? That's weird. Yeah, then we re-record your child's footage. It's like, wow, she's like 3 years older now. That's weird.
Huh, I don't know how that happened. Yeah.
Yeah, so what's going on?
I'm checking through my notes. So this past, I guess, month for November, I've been trying to do the NaNoWriMo project. So I've been trying to write this science fiction game, which we've kind of mentioned on the podcast. I was kind of interested in it. I think I've mentioned I just have like a file with different various game ideas. And so I just ran it through a randomizer and it picked that game.
This is definitely how like Ron Gilbert and Tim Schafer designed their video games.
Yeah, I threw together like all three or four of the idea. Like on my list of ideas for games, I had like three or four different science fiction ideas. So I just sort of threw them all together for this one.
Perfect.
Because awesome. It was a solid one. So it's like I'm just gonna steal my other ideas rather than like, you know, write five time travel games. We've already had enough time travel, I think, in O-Rock. I don't know.
It's an excellent. Is this the I think you talked a few months ago about doing one that sort of had like Groundhog Day elements. Is that in here?
Yeah, that's it.
Cool.
So I sent Paul the list of like puzzles and stuff because I couldn't figure out how to do adventure game puzzles whatsoever. So it's going to be fun when you see it. I've got it all, like, done. I can send it to you at any point, but...
Oh, cool. Yeah. Well, I'm sure the puzzle ideas I gave you were actually completely impossible to implement, but...
I have no idea. I inserted some of them as, like, joke suggestions. but I did try to, like, program... I tried to do it the way that you would program it in... RenPy, and I don't know if I did that on purpose or not, simply just so I would have a lot more words and meet like the word count total.
So, oh, I see.
Yeah, so I programmed the puzzle where you're supposed to scare your dad who's sitting in an armchair, and then, you know, that causes dad to drop his phone into coffee.
Oh, that was one of my suggestions.
Yeah. It's great, yeah. So I programmed that and basically had, like, there are, like, 9 different options. Because, like, there are 3 different ways his chair can be if he's got it all the way up, part way back, or all the way back. And then I picked, like, 3 different places you can put your phone on the coffee table seat. So with all, like, those 9 options, that took up a lot of space. It took way too long to keep track of, actually.
Yeah.
With that puzzle, it looks like just on that day of the game, there are 9 plus 9. There are like 15 different ways to fail, so there's a lot of programming and code, I suppose.
How many words are you up to as of the recording right now?
So I got to like 35. I basically got to the end of my outline, and I think it's at the point where it wouldn't be worthwhile to write anymore. I figure the next step is just to send it to you.
Okay, yeah, cool.
Oh, and I also want to point out that I do know how to program a 5-minute timer in RenPy. I actually know how to do that.
Oh, did you do that with the Mermaid game before?
I did not. I actually, for the, I found the code on how to do that for the Moms game. So if somebody, like, failed a puzzle, they would add 5 seconds to the puzzle.
Oh, you know. Okay. Okay, cool. Oh, so you already know how to do that. Awesome. I don't think that's anything I've ever actually implemented in RenPy before. Cool.
Well, I would just copy paste whatever I did last time.
Oh, yeah.
But it's weird. What you do is you like set a variable to like 500 and say that's the number of seconds you want. And then every second the game will check it and they'll say, okay, is the variable 0 yet? If not, -1, do it again next second.
Interesting. Okay.
It checks every second. So I don't know if that's how you're supposed to do it. I'm not sure if that's how timers work in other game systems, but that's the workaround. Is it's like, okay, 500 seconds.
How do you get it to keep checking itself like that?
I think it was a function. I'll check.
Oh, cool. Yeah, because I'll
pull up the actual code.
I remember in AGS, it was kind of a pain to do something like that because, what was it, you had to, like, put it into the repeatedly execute function for, like, a specific room in the game, and anything you put in that block, if I recall correctly, would always, like, slow things down tremendously, so you had to be super careful about using it. Yeah, I remember it being kind of a hassle, so it'd be cool if it was easy in RenPy.
RenPy has a timer function, so it was timer 0.1, or repeat, that's what I did. And then, like I said, if it's true, the action is just remove one, and then something to say, if it's 0, then
the action happens.
The failure.
Yeah. Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, and I have I put like the entire thing in whatever you call it, things in the code that the game just kind of ignores.
Oh, like you commented it out, like with the.
Yeah, the comment things. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah, with the pound sign, the hashtag. Yeah.
Yeah. So I did that to like explain everything that's happening in the timer, just because I knew I would totally forget it.
Yeah, exactly. That's something I always have to remind myself to do when I'm coding. Like, boy, if I'm doing anything particularly complicated, I'm like, well, I really need to explain exactly what's going on right now, because otherwise, if I ever have to edit this at all, I'm going to be so lost. Or if you want to like copy and paste the code for a future game, you better have explained to yourself what is going on.
Have to repeat the puzzle. Yeah.
Because my code certainly tends to make me look like a madman.
So anyway, that's the news. That's basically all I've been doing with my writing this month. I forget which other puzzle ideas. Gosh, it should be here. No, I think I deleted the puzzle ideas you gave me.
Oh, ouch. Okay. All right. Fine.
By that, I mean I copy-pasted the things from the document you sent me into the document where I was writing the thing, and then I deleted your suggestion document.
Okay, alright,
That's all. I didn't, like, just delete everything.
It's fine. I also, a lot of, like, my puzzle design there was less thinking about what's technically feasible, or what, like, matches the overall design in this game, and it was more like, what sounds funny to me? With little regard given to usability of said puzzles.
Mm-hmm. For the final thing of the game, it's basically, I didn't bother to try to program the puzzle or anything. I just wrote down a list of various ideas. So it's like, cool. Hey, Wouldn't it be cool if there was like a pendulum puzzle here? Because I was trying to think of a puzzle that's related to time. And I have no idea how I would program that. It probably would be impossible.
With like an animated pendulum on the screen?
Oh man, wouldn't that be crazy? I have no idea how to do that in anything. Yeah.
Yeah. It's been fun watching people's Let's Plays of Cat President 2, because I remind myself that there is exactly one animation in the game, and it's when you're outside the elevator door, the light on the door blinks off and on and off, and I see it in the game, and I'm always so impressed with myself, and I have to point it out to everybody.
Oh my gosh, yeah, there's... I know animation is... I don't know, how do you even do that? Do you do that with, like, a GIF or something?
No, I do it frame by frame, so that's why it worked with this one, because it was two frames. One frame was lit up, and one frame was not lit up. So it was very simple. I mean, you there's, like, a way you just define an image in the game, and you say, this image is actually made up of multiple pictures. And then you say, like, picture one, and then how long of a pause, and then picture two. So it's like, it shows elevator on, and then, like, you know, 0.5 seconds, and then elevator off, 0.5 seconds. And then you just do show that image when you actually want to display it. Yeah, it's very easy to do extremely simple animations like that.
Well, yeah, that way. So is the image just, the entire background or just the part that changes?
I think I did the whole background. Yeah. The whole background doesn't change. I mean, it's just one flashing thing on the background, but it's just like made up of two background images, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes sense.
Because that was the easiest way for me to do it. Well, I actually did do something similar in the first Cat President game when, you're in, I believe it's Frisky's office, and looking at his employee's computer, there's like a blinking cursor on the screen, which I did for the same exact reason, which was that it was a simple thing to do. So that's something we could also play with more in the future, if we happen to think of places where it would work. It would be very, very small background animations like that. I've been thinking maybe I should try to implement that more, or at least try to notice places where I could implement it more.
Like on a Cat President where you've got the dog going around the luggage cart in the airport.
I don't know. See, now that sounds like an animation that might be too difficult to have that animated.
It probably would, actually. But you could probably just do a moving... presuming the luggage cart is empty, you could probably just do an animation of that, not... too complicated, I guess. It'd be like five frames, and then it just loops over and over and over again, and so it looks like the entire conveyor belt is going over and over and over again when it's just five frames looping.
I see. So you're saying, like, not without the dog on there, just the conveyor belt moving.
Yeah.
Oh. And, you know, it would be very doable if I happened to, like, take pictures of the conveyor belt in motion like that, and then I could really just like layer, as you say, five background images on top of each other where the conveyor belt's at a different position in each one. That'd be kind of interesting.
Yeah, and then I think what you'd do next is you'd have a separate animation for just the dog, because I don't know, let's assume the dog's just sitting in place and never turning left and right. Yeah. And it's like, okay, here's the dog at the left part of the screen, the middle, and then the right part.
Maybe, but the, like, your perspective of the dog would, like, the dog goes around, would go around a corner, at least in this specific image. So I'd have to have an image of, viewing the dog from the side and then viewing the dog, like, at a diagonal angle, stuff like that. And it was just, like, one picture of one dog that I pulled off of Pixabay, so I would not have that opportunity. But
I see.
But yeah, like you definitely do stuff like that. Or like if there's a clock in a background, that would be pretty easy to do too. If it had like a second hand, just have a few different images of the second hand going around, stuff like that.
Yeah, I've seen that in a game where it displays like the real time on the clock. That was kind of cool.
That would be tough.
Yeah.
If there was like a digital clock, that would be probably pretty easy, because that could just be text that displays the current time. Yeah, if you, as you said, if there is a function for that in RenPy, oh, that would be kind of interesting. I think we even had a digital clock in the background of some scenes in the first game. I probably could have tried that.
Oh, wow. There's a game runtime counter, I guess. Ooh. In RenPy. I don't know what you'd use that for, but you can determine how long somebody's been playing the game.
Oh, I used something like that? Oh, gosh, that's right. I must have used a timer in one of these games. In the first game, Cat President 1, there's an achievement you get if you spend too much time trying to pick a character to play as. You get an achievement for taking your time. Gosh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Apparently, it looks like what I did for the timer was I just copy-pasted that from the RenPy documentation for doing, like, a timed menu. So, like, if you don't pick within 3 seconds, the game forces you to it picks for you. Because I guess it makes sense that people would want that option in a game. We've never done that.
Yeah. Oh, all right. Well, all right. So two things on that subject. Apparently the thing I did for the achievement in Cat President 1 was quite simple. The code is literally just timer 45 and then action, and you get an achievement if you spend 45 seconds on the screen. That's the whole thing.
Oh, wow, that's great. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I did that just because I wanted to mess with people who were like, messing around on the screen, just listening to all the meows. I wanted to sort of poke fun at them for doing that, so I put an achievement in there. Oh my gosh, it's called Cat Got Your Tongue. Yep, awesome. The other thing about choices, Sia, you're saying we could have, like a thing where you get the choice menu, and then if you spend too long, it doesn't let you choose, like a Walking Dead kind of thing. They do that a lot.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of, yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, I'm playing this other visual novel right now called Arcade Spirits. And it does some kind of interesting stuff with choices like that. If I recall, you and I were talking about how to incorporate like stats into a game, like, you know, cleverness or persuasiveness, like different character abilities one could have. So this game does something like that. And then it takes away options if you don't meet a certain threshold for a certain statistic. Like if you're not cheerful enough, if you're not funny enough, like it'll display the option and then a line through it, because you're like, no, this character can't or wouldn't say that. I thought that was kind of an interesting way to play with that.
Yeah, I've seen that before.
Yeah,
I didn't bother trying to do that at all with stats. Oh, no. At all. I was more focused on trying to do adventure game puzzles.
Yeah.
So
we'll find a game where stats just like inherently make sense one of these days.
Yeah. So a game I played this past month was Jenny LeClue, which is sort of like an adventure game. It's got a lot of adventure game elements to it, but the way this particular game is set up is that you don't like. There's no mouse feature, actually. You can't use the mouse whatsoever. It's all up, down, left, right, WASD.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, I thought it was so weird. And it even after playing the game for several hours, it still was difficult for me.
Was it like originally in like a tablet, like a mobile game or something?
No, I don't know. I know they have it released for like Switch. And some other systems. But it was a Kickstarter game. So with this game, what you do is your character can only move left and right. I think that's all the animation they had the character do. I think they have a running animation, and your character can jump for a platforming. There's a long platforming challenge. It takes super long. I didn't enjoy that much. But your character can't move any closer or farther from the screen, I suppose. I mean, they have close-ups of the character and everything, but it's not like Spirit in the Mirror, where Paul can move closer to the player or, you know, closer to the background. It's like Jenny can just move left and right. And when she's in front of something that you can interact with, there's like a pop-up menu that shows up, and you just hit the you hit the enter button to examine it, or, you know, talk to this character, or, you know, root through the garbage or whatever you want her to do.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm looking at images right now. Yeah, it looks like, yeah, like a hybrid platformer adventure game. That's kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Except, is the platforming kind of a pain?
It's really terrible. It feels like it would be great with a controller, or it'd be just fine with the controller.
Yeah. Have you tried it with a controller? Does it like have like wired like Xbox or PlayStation controller support?
I don't know if it does. Well, I was gonna say that the running feature, like there's a specific button for running. It's the shift button, so you just press shift plus left right to make her run. But if she has to climb up a rock or, you know, jump over something, then it immediately resets and you have to press the shift button again. So I can't just hold down the run and have her just keep going through all these obstacles or jump over them. It's that I constantly have to reset it. I mean, repress the button. I don't know why that was so difficult for me, but it was.
Yeah, it looks like it. According to their Steam page, they should have controller support. So if you happen to have like some sort of USB controller that you could plug into your computer, maybe that would help. I don't know. It sounds like you're probably almost done playing the game by now, though.
I already finished the game. Yeah.
You already finished it. Yeah. So that would not be very helpful.
But anyway, so I wrote the. I wrote the puzzles and such, sort of like the idea of Jenny LeClue. It's like, okay, here's a list of the various characters you can interact with, you know, characters you can ask questions, and the list of the various items you can pick up. I didn't bother with trying to do any programming for how you actually pick them up or whatnot, or mm-hmm. where these things are in relation to each other. It's like, just here's a list of all the things that you should be able to interact with for this puzzle. And it turns out I did not do a lot. I did almost no picking up various items and using them. For whatever reason, it didn't seem to work very well.
Yeah, well, that also tends to be sort of a clunky mechanic when you're trying to put that into RenPy. It's one of those things that's not really built for is inventory management like that. Or at least I haven't seen a lot of games that do stuff like that that are built with RenPy.
Yeah, so I think I did it the way basically Jenny LeClue does it, which is basically, you know, she stands in front of a pair of scissors and you press enter, pick up scissors, and she's like, all right, I'm holding the scissors now. But there's not like an inventory that you can use to take the scissors out of.
Oh, okay. So she has, like, she could pick up and, like, carry around just one item at a time? Is that the idea?
I'm not sure if that's the idea. I mean, that's just sort of how I tried to write it or program it. I'd have to remember the Jenny LeClue game specifically.
So in your game, is there, like, actually a character that moves around on the screen in your game?
I wouldn't know. I left it open so we could decide. Like I said, I only put down the list of things that you would be able to interact with in the puzzle.
Right.
But, I mean, it's basically like, say the puzzle is to cut a piece of paper in half. Then it's like, well, there's a paper. Mm-hmm. You can interact with it. Basically, she looks at it and says, oh, it's a paper. I need to cut it. And then you do Nexus. If she actually has the scissors, then you would have the option to cut the paper as opposed to just look at it.
I see. Yeah. I mean, some of this stuff you could do with like screen actions, right? Like, it could the background could be a defined as a screen in RenPy, and then you could have hotspots or objects on the screens. Like the pair of scissors could be there, and then you like click on the scissors, and yeah, now you have the scissors. You're carrying them, and then like you're saying, you could then have the option to cut the paper from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as opposed to you know, having an actual inventory where you click the scissors on your inventory and then
you
just drag them to the piece of paper on the screen. It's just once you've already interacted with the scissors and your character's picked it up, the game knows she's holding the scissors and brings up all the weird scissors options.
And you could still have, like, a list of items that you're carrying around. It just wouldn't be interactable. Or if anything, you could, like, click on the items to, like, get a description of them, but they could just be, like, more of a reference list. Like, you are now carrying the scissors, the pencils, the Christmas lights, like, and then you now know that you are able to do those interactions should you have a use for them. But you don't, like, click, as you say, you don't click on the icon to activate them or anything.
Yeah. So I don't think I wrote any real puzzles where you have more than two items. One of the final puzzles actually has, like, two different inventory items, which you use together, because I'm like, what would be a puzzle? It's like, okay, I need a simple puzzle here. Use these two inventory items on each other to create a tool that will let you get into this locked facility.
And so I take it, like, you pick up these two items, and then you then have the option to use them together.
Yeah.
Sort of like...
I think that's supposed to be the idea. Yeah.
I'm curious to see how this might work.
I don't know. I hope it does. I don't know what that is.
Yeah, well, we're getting closer and closer now to finishing Internet Court, so when I'm finished that, then we can figure out what project I should be working on for us next. Whether I should be focusing on the mom's game or on the sci-fi game.
I've got a surprise third game, which you're going to love, though.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Okay, because the sci-fi game only went to, like, 35,000 words, and I need an extra, like, 15,000 to count for NaNoWriMo.
Yeah.
Because they say you have to write 50,000 words a month. It doesn't count if you only do... So I'm like, okay, fine. Is there another game I can pick up? So I ran it through the randomizer, and it... I wasn't actually going to write the games. When I say games, there are a couple of things I've done speculations for. Is that what you call it? A speculative? I don't know. Things that I've written, like, various outlines or ideas for, so... I've got a bunch of different specs like that, or I was planning to write some specs too. Anyway, one of the speculations I already done, and this was the one that came up when I ran the list through the randomizer, is that too many Santa Claus games.
Yes!
So too many Santas.
Now we're talking. All right.
I already wrote a very basic outline and sent it to you, and you said it was okay. And so... I'm going for it. So that's what I'm writing.
Oh man,
it's a very awesome. Should be a very short, simple game. So like each chapter is 2 pages long, and each pathway has 4 chapters. So each pathway should be just about 10 minutes long, really.
Oh, I like this. Sorry, I'm looking at the outline, and yes, I do like this game.
Yeah, so
yes. Sim for Santas.
So right now I'm on page 11.
Oh, this is going to be a fun one to try to figure out art for. I don't know how we're going to be able to get 6 different people in Santa costumes.
I figured this would have to be one that we'd do them like anime style or
oh,
something.
Oh, no. All right.
I think when I wrote the outline, I vaguely based it off of my memories of this weird dating sim where you dated pieces of sushi.
Yes. Yeah, you said that in the email. You took the premise of the sushi game and replaced it with Santa.
That's great. Yeah. So that's what I'm doing. It's the premise of the sushi game.
Well, that's interesting. So if it's a smaller game, it'll be... easier for us to afford getting actual art for it, I would hope. I mean, for a game like Cat Resident 2 with its, you know, 60 chapters or whatever total, like, there's no universe in which we could afford to get an artist to draw all of that. But for a shorter game, you know, maybe. Maybe it's not completely impossible.
Would we hire different people to do anime Santa? I don't know. That's not the right word, is it?
I was actually trying to figure this out. I don't know what the right word would be. I mean, most visual novels are in like an anime style, but I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be. But cartoon isn't really the right word. I don't know. we could also, if we get someone to draw the characters, maybe we could still save some money by not quite doing like photographs as the backgrounds, but maybe like manipulated photographs as the background. Like some, like if there's a way that I could mess around with images in Photoshop and get those as backgrounds, and that would save a tremendous amount of money as opposed to getting someone to draw all of those too.
Oh, here we go. We've got a website. How to draw anime Santa Claus step-by-step drawing guide.
Are you Googling
clearly
anime Santa Claus?
Clearly we need to do that. And then I'll just draw all the anime Santa Clauses.
Oh, boy. This is too many games, Michael. I told you, I only want to work on one game at a time now.
There was a 2-episode anime starring Santa Claus called Itsudate My Santa. I wonder what that means. I don't know. It's about this girl trying to make this boy who hates Christmas learn to love Christmas. A teacher from Santa Claus Academy. What?
Yeah, okay, so I'm looking at the images right now for this anime. So these are definitely like sexy female Santas, or at least that's what it looks like. There's at least one sexy female Santa. Is that what you're imagining, or are you imagining more like the traditional old guy with a beard kind of Santa?
I have no idea, because right now I'm writing the storyline for the good-looking Santa, but I was thinking more of them, would they would be more like the traditional one.
Your description, sexy Santa, buff and handsome, you'd better watch out around him.
Oh, okay, so he's been getting customers by just doing dancing outside the store.
Yes.
He's just got a group of people cheering for him, expecting him to be buff and handsome.
Definitely going to be puns about getting people to sit on his lap, too, isn't there?
Yep, that's, So there are definitely people trying to sit in sexy Santa's lap. That is something that happens, and the main character gets mad at sexy Santa for basically putting up with that.
This game sounds great. Yes, 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 yes.
So it's just been a very fun little silly thing that I've been writing to try to like fill up the last week of NaNoWriMo. Because
sure.
I think it'll take me to the end of the last week. And, you know, like I said, it's only like 2 pages, and each chapter has 2 decisions. I wasn't actually sure how to put the decisions down. The way I formatted it was just, it's always, here's the good answer first, and then the second answer second. But I feel like that would be unfair to players to always have the correct answer be the first one.
Mm-hmm.
So how did we do that in Cat Press? Did we just like randomize it? Or
I think it's just random. I mean, I left it however you did it in the original in the script, but I think it was mostly random. It wasn't always like the good is the first one and the bad is second. Also, they should be naughty and nice. That's what we should call them.
No.
The naughty decision, nice decision.
It's gonna be So that's the fun project.
Yeah. Oh, I always love hearing about the fun project.
Yes. So I've only got one other thing in my notes here. It says Pokemon Sword. Sword, it lets you play as 1 of 6 characters. Like, in reality, it's just 2 characters. It's the male character and the female character, but they have different colored hair and skin. And I was going to say, I don't know how they program that. Do they just like program each like cutscene 6 times, or do they just program each cutscene twice? See, I don't understand how games have customizable characters all the time. If there's cutscenes, that seems like it'd be impossible.
It's funny you mention that. The visual novel I mentioned earlier, Arcade Spirits, also does character customizations for the main character. Like, at the beginning of the game, you can choose your character's hairstyle, the color of their outfit, the color of their hair, the color of their eyes, I think. And then whenever you see your character on screen, like their regular character sprites, it's all the decisions like that you made. But also there are like, I think what they call in visual novels CGs. I don't know why they call them that, but like those sort of individual scenes that aren't just characters in front of a background. They're more like specific tailored images. Anyway, your character is customized in those scenes as well. And you have like so many choices for colors. There was like dozens and dozens of choices for the colors for my hoodie that my character's wearing. So it's something that can be done. I think the game was made in RenPy, so it's a thing that you can possibly do somehow.
How did they even do that? Maybe it's just, it's a blank, I don't know, the hoodie's blank, and then they just layer the color on top of it, but then, gosh, I don't know how you do that. So I was thinking of having CGs in the Silly Santa game. I don't know if that would be too much work, but...
Oh, it probably would. It depends on how much money you're willing to spend on the art.
Oh, no.
But anyway, I do think CGs in general would be a cool thing for us to try to implement in a future game. It seems like a thing that people really like in visual novels.
So I think it would be limited to, I mean, specifically with the Santa game, because we don't have unlimited budget.
Yeah.
It would basically be the good ending has one CG.
Okay.
If that makes sense. The good winning each pathway. Maybe that would be an okay way to limit it.
Mm-hmm. So how many pathways are we talking about? How many pathways? How many Santas?
Aren't there six though? Oh,
yeah.
Well, maybe I'll
we
get
could
rid of
cut
one of
that
Santas.
Down. We could cut it down to like four Santas. Oh, that doesn't seem like a lot of Santas though. Maybe five.
Yeah, the other Santas DLC. I don't know.
You have to pay extra for naughty Santa.
No. Oh no. Oh dear.
So, Internet Court. I'll give the quick update. I only have 2 pages left to code. if we weren't doing this podcast right now, I'd be pretty close to finishing tonight, probably.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, actually, yeah. I'm exaggerating a bit. There's a lot. Like, the only thing that's left is actually like the last scene in the game. But there's a lot in that scene. There's a lot. There's like so many more lines than have been in any other scene in the entire game so far. So it's of course taking time, just like everything else does. Especially, I realized while I've been editing this footage, you gave poor Kelly the bridesmaid two of the longest lines in the entire game.
I didn't. I'm sorry. And one of them was like a joke you wrote, which was really really good, so I kept it.
Oh,
where she complained she wanted to be a backup dancer for Joey and the Good Boys.
Yes.
And I think he had like two or three lines about it. I just thought it was great, so I kept that in. She insisted on doing it in one take, I think.
She did a good job. Yeah, it was fun too, because I've been watching all the footage you sent, obviously. And it looks like you did it in a couple different sessions, one where you were the director and one where your stepdaughter was the director.
Yeah. I think it worked much better when I was the director because I was...
Look, I'm not going to say, but yeah. Yeah, it was funny, actually. It seemed like Kelly was getting a little frustrated at one point. I think I have an outtake where she tells Mary to go stand by and face the wall. There's also like this whole like minute segment where Mary is interviewing Rosie about her role in the game. I thought was really cute. Yeah. Oh, I might ask you if I can include that in the bonus content as well, just because it was kind of cute.
Okay, I'll have to take a look. I mean, all these obviously filmed much later when Rosie could actually talk.
It's true. It's funny. Like, you might not be able to realize that Rosie is the same character that actually appears in the game. Because, yeah, she's, you know, 6 months old or whatever in her actual scenes, and then she's a toddler in these scenes, in the bonus footage here.
That'll be great. Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. Everything's Yeah, I'm really happy I'm at the point where I am now, too, because I'm at the point where it's just straight dialogue. I don't have to do any more puzzles. There's no decisions. There's no more inventory management. It's just, like, editing footage and adding subtitles to it, and that's, like, all that it is for the next two and a half pages.
Mm-hmm.
So that part's pretty straightforward, at least. And then, yeah, and then it's adding music to this, and then sending it to you to check out. And doing all. I mean, this should sound very familiar to anyone who listened to the podcast like 2 months ago when I was finishing Cat President. But it's, you know, all that same stuff. Interface design, everything. Menus. I haven't touched the main menu for this game yet, so I don't really know what that's going to look like yet.
It's nice. Yeah, I've still got like all my internet cord footage. Oh dear.
But yeah, so this is sort of the reason why I alluded to this earlier in this episode, that I sort of want to just focus on one game at a time now instead of splitting my time between multiple games, because it's nice, it's gratifying to be able to work on multiple projects, but now we're in the situation where we've been sitting on internet court just for so long at this point, like this footage is quite old at this point, and it's just... I don't know, I'd prefer to be able to just work on one project and get it out in a timely manner and then move on to the next one, as opposed to work on two projects that neither of which can really come out in a timely manner just because there's only so much time.
Yeah, I'm going to check the dates on this, but it looks like, yeah.
Oh, so don't. It'll be very depressing.
The footage recorded was almost exactly a year ago, and just like the last character of the game, too. So just like the last person to send in footage.
I was talking with Victoria about this during her live stream the other day. We were like, I think we recorded our footage like 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago at this point. So, yeah, I'd rather not be sitting on stuff for that long. I think it makes more sense to just do one at a time. On the plus side, like, yeah, this game's probably going to be out, I would say February at the latest is my estimate right now. If not sooner.
That's great. Yeah.
Depends on how well testing goes and if everyone complains about the lack of a pause button.
Oh, no. Oh. Well, I
shouldn't have brought it up.
I could try to figure it out again. Actually,
no.
I...
No. No more pause button.
No. I was going to talk about something different. I'm gonna look
okay.
it up now.
Okay, good.
So, I was just messing around, I guess, on Amazon when one of the things they suggested was a book on program. Apparently, there are a bunch of kids' books, you know, like teach kids how to code in Python or teach kids how to code,
cool.
period. And so I just checked my library and it's like, oh, well, 30 short games that kids can make in Python. And so I'm like, ooh, maybe that would be good to look into. Give us ideas for how we could possibly do puzzles in the future. I have no idea.
Oh, interesting. Huh. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see like what kind of games they talk about making in Python. I don't even know what else you can do with Python. Like, I have not scratched the surface of any of that stuff. I don't know anything.
Apparently there's just a bunch of books for kids on like simple programming. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, why didn't I read this first?
I thought you were going with that was I thought you were going to say, so I'm going to get my kids to start reading this stuff now so that they can be our programmers.
Oh, no. How to mod the game, how to hack your game.
Oh, fun.
Moving the pizzas. What? Yeah, so there's at least a dozen books teaching kids how to do simple programming. I was just going to say something else I wanted to look into at some point is to check out, like, mystery card games or, you know, the mystery subscription thing. See how other people do it. See if maybe I could turn that into a game.
Hmm. Well, what do you mean?
I don't know. Apparently, there's a bunch of, like, whatever you call it, like, mystery card games where, or, like, escape room games, card games, too, where it's just, like, 60 cards and just randomly dole them out and a game results. I have no idea how that would work, so that's, like, on my list of things to eventually look at.
Elizabeth and I have actually played several of these room escape card games during, you know, social distancing quarantine last year. Mm-hmm. We've been playing ones, I think the series is just called Exit.
Yeah, that's it. That was the one everybody said
to play.
Oh, that's
the one. Yes, because it's really good. I can tell you some quick basics about it. You get a little booklet that sort of starts you out. You give a scene that you examine, like a big image of a scene that you're in. Like it might be the foyer of a mansion, say, and you'll see a bunch of locked rooms on the art, and you'll be guided to draw cards from a deck that provide you with puzzles to solve. And if you solve the puzzle correctly, you put the number that you get from solving the puzzle into a code wheel, and the code wheel directs you to pick up a card from a different deck, and that tells you if you did it correctly or not. That's sort of the basic. Making it sound so much duller than it actually is. We've bought like seven of these things by now. We've been really into it.
Yeah. So my idea was to eventually look into that. See, it's like, is there a way to program a game? It looks like somebody took a couple of choose their own adventure books and turned those into card games too.
I've seen those. I haven't played those yet. It's like literally they are choose your own adventure branded games. I think you're right. I think they actually just take text from the books.
So that's
I haven't checked those out yet.
I haven't checked out any. Like I know I mentioned looking into like doing those game book things to get ideas, but I never did. So.
Well, yeah. Now you should turn one of your choice of games into a card game like that.
Yeah. There's an Oregon Trail card game. Oh my goodness.
I have not played that. I've thought about it. And there's this one I've been playing with my game group over Zoom. We just finished it. A story-driven kind of board game called Legacy of Dragonholt that has been a ton of fun. It's like a combination of Dungeons & Dragons and Choose Your Own Adventure. You have like a character sheet with different abilities and hit points and stuff like that. And as like a group, you take turns reading out of the storybook. And then it's like one person gets to make the decision for the group at the end of each section of dialogue. And then, you know, stuff happens. You might, for example, you might try to use the Thunder Rune to try to strike your enemy with lightning. And if you're not skilled in alchemy, you might end up hurting yourself and all of your friends. Stuff like that. That was a tremendous amount of fun. I highly recommend that for everyone's social distancing game groups. Legacy of Dragonholt. You played any games late recently?
You
played Jenny LeClue. Yeah.
That was my last big adventure game. The other games I don't even remember at this point. I'll check. Just another Carol Reed game. And then
cool.
Dark Parables, The Final Cinderella, which was a game I did 7 years ago, and I didn't play the bonus chapter. Never got around to it for whatever reason. So I went back and did the bonus chapter.
Excellent. I was looking at one of the Carol Reed videos. I was kind of surprised how they do the character portraits. Specifically like transitioning from one character expression to another. Like it's just like a jump cut from smiley to frowny. And I thought that was quite jarring compared to the way we've done it in Cat President, which is kind of a fade, dissolves into the other, into the next view. Like you dissolve from happy into sad. I think that looks a little better. I thought it looked kind of bad.
I don't know if they've done that. I think in other games they they get fancier and they can do the thing where the person you're talking to changes expressions or poses like mid sentence.
Oh, fun! Oh, that's hard.
So they say like three or so. You know, they have like three or four different pictures for like a particular line.
But is there any sort of like transition, or is it still just like image?
It's still just it's just going between still images, I think.
I still think that looks, I think it looks weird. I don't know. But I don't know what kind of software they're using to make the games too. So maybe that's just a limitation of the software. They do have a million images per character, though. I will say that for them. I was shocked by the number of subtle expression changes that they have for those characters. They must be like actually taking the pictures in front of a green screen, or they must have some automated way to cut the characters out and put them into the game, because I remove models from their backgrounds by hand, and that takes forever. I can't imagine that they're doing that for like 30, 40 images per person.
Yeah, I do think some of them are he just took pictures of this person sitting on their sofa, just took like a dozen pictures. I don't know.
Yeah.
There are definitely times where the person who is doing the voice is not the person whose picture is being taken, if that makes sense. But there are other times when that is the case.
Well, it's like when I did that to you in Pizza Boy, your character like yawns or laughs a couple times, and I just recorded myself doing it. And it's quite jarring if you know us and our voices.
Yeah.
So I've been playing, like I mentioned, Arcade Spirits. I got it as part of the Itch.io social justice bundle that came out over the summer. It's pretty cool. It's a dating sim set in a video game arcade, but it sort of imagines this world where the gaming crash of the 80s never happened, and games sort of evolved to be more of a social arcade experience instead of an individual console experience. Like the primary gaming scene appears to still be in arcades, so that's kind of fun. And there's a lot of very cute people you can date in the game too, of course. All of which, my God, I cannot believe how many muscles some of these guys have. Like the accountant is like the sexiest man on earth, which is not something I really expected going into this game. And you can't even tell until you get to the requisite beach chapter, and suddenly everyone is much more naked than they were earlier in the game.
Oh dear.
I've been having a lot of fun with this game though, so. I definitely recommend it. And yeah, like I was saying, that's the game I was saying that has the character customization options, too.
Sounds like fun. I was going to play a couple of Switch games, but my Switch controller broke, so this month has just been waiting for Nintendo to give my Switch controller back. Oh. Yeah.
All right. I think that about does it for this month's episode. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Paul M. Franzen, and Michael is at Arglefumpf, spelled exactly as it sounds. You can check out all of our games on Steam or itch.io, or just visit oarock.com for the complete library. Are you ready for this, Michael? Our new theme song is by Fifth Avenue.
No.
You can check them out on SoundCloud. And finally, if you have any questions about game development or our games specifically, we'd love to hear them. Email them to podcast@oarock.com. Is there anything you'd like to add?
What happened to Dead Monster by March of the Danger Man?
Sorry, they're gone now. New song,
oh, no.
It's new song time.
Okay.
No one's going to know what podcast they're listening to when it starts up in their feed, and I'm really sorry about that. I hope by now everyone's figured it out.
Okay, bye everybody.
Bye everyone. I swear, if there's tentacles in here somewhere.